I'm Brian Kilby. And this is XV.
No, it's not.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
Oh, yes, you should visit tformers.com. Yes, you should. Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, the official podcast of tformers.com, of course, and the original Transformers Internet radio show. I'm your host, Brian Kilby, and joining me this week are Peter Van, Rob Clay, John DeLuna, and not XV. We just said you weren't XV in the video intro.
What? And what an intro.
And what an intro.
What a road
was.
Trip.
Oh, my God. BotCon trip. Is over. Funny thing. Okay, I was remarking on the way home from work that 168 hours earlier, we were in Dallas eating Chinese food in a ghetto part of town that John has never gone into.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, all the wrong ways.
It was.
Wait, John, you've never been to the Chinatown in Dallas?
It wasn't Chinatown.
Was that China or Korean?
It was Chinese food, Korean proprietors, probably.
Now the karaoke bar we went to, that was like the Korean.
Oh, yeah, that was heavy-duty Korean, but there's a Korean town, there's a Chinatown, there's a little Mexico. They're all right
it's
here.
It's Dallas. So it's all right Mexico. Here.
There's triads.
Well, that's fair. It's powered by Mexico. How about that?
Yes.
Every inch of it. Yeah, you know, the funny thing was, we went to this crappy Chinese buffet in a horrible part of town. The only reason I knew it existed is because I happened to drive past it like a day before. But then later in the weekend, we realized there were at least two or three far superior Chinese buffets around my apartment and like half the distance that we drove to the crappy Chinese buffet
and
that we went to
phone.
On day one.
And no worries about what's being part of your dinner.
Well, it's best not to dwell on
things. BotCon was great. I miss it.
We have long pooped that out, so don't worry about it.
I haven't.
I think I finally got rid of that on, like, Monday, but,
I think Chinese food stays in your stomach for, like, 7 years or something.
Yes, basically. It has the half-life of, like, 30 years.
Did I ever tell you about the 5-year-old pizza I ate once?
Oh, God. But BotCon was quite an experience. Most of us here, actually all of us here, but Rob, were able to attend, and Rob was there in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been great. We talked a lot about you, though, Rob. For better or for ill. But it was great. We met a lot of people that we didn't know, met a lot of fans, just a chance to sort of convene, as it's a convention, and do cool stuff. I love BotCon. It's my favorite time of year, and I can't, every year I look forward to it in the hopes that I can make it. Hopefully next year it'll be in a place that's semi-convenient. But so of those of you who were there, we don't really have any news. We're not starting off the news this week. It's mostly just a reflection on the convention. Plus, I have comic news with Amy and an excerpt from an interview with Jim Sorensen and Bill Forster regarding Transformers Legacy. And we also have a video montage from the convention with excerpts from an interview that J.D. had with Steve Huckle from Jagex regarding Transformers Universe, as well as a post-show wrap-up interview with Pete Sinclair, a Fun Pub. So, and those are actually, with the exception of the Jim Sorensen interview, which I haven't posted yet, which will not be on YouTube, the Jagex and Pete Sinclair interviews are already on our YouTube channel. They'll be at tfradio.net and tformers.com some point later this weekend. So guys, as far as BotCon goes, what were some of your highlights?
Hey, the easy one is the toys were way better than I expected, actually.
Spinister.
Yeah, so the ad show toys were, I think almost all of them were really, really good. And
yeah, okay,
the one that wasn't
that a little bit.
Was Octopunch.
Well, actually, I'm rather liking Octopunch the more I mess with it.
Weren't you planning to
not keep him, maybe? Was that a thought?
Apparently
at some
not
point?
Anymore.
Yes, I know. That's
probably
really
not
like,
anymore.
Here's the fully opened and transformed Octopunch. So, that's a hint.
Well, there's a practical reason for doing that, just like the Shattered Glass Prime.
But. You know, oftentimes, and I think everyone knows this, it only takes a small hook for me to like something. I can change 180 degrees on something just when something clicks that just really works for me. And I think what did it for me with Octopunch was Lanny's comment that he made during the TF Club panel.
Because they know this crowd knows what tentacles look like.
Yes. That is awesome. I love that. That was so great. That was... I'm not going to go into it. That was great. Just, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Everyone was pretty lukewarm on the box set leading up to BotCon. I don't think having the toys in hand really helped that a lot. But the souvenir sets really seemed to resonate with a lot of people.
Yes.
Makes me glad, too, because those are the ones I could actually buy.
Yeah, and the one that we found out about, we didn't know about the Junkion set going in. That was the only one that we were ignorant of.
Had been rumored for a long time.
We had no test shots or any stolen toys have been put on eBay.
Right.
So, I like them, and I really considered getting them. But the more I thought about it, the color scheme and the point of, and the choice of the Junkions is sort of the equivalent of Insecticons. It was sort of it's a really, 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 really loose connection, and it really didn't do a lot for me. I actually didn't end up getting any of the exclusives, which is pretty normal for me. The only time I really, really, really had to have those were, of course, 2010.
Yeah.
Glad I got them. but I bought XV's Fort Max. Brave Max, pardon me.
Yes. Now, yes, my Fort Max will still be seen every week on Superhero Time, don't worry.
Yes, yes.
We got to hang out with Fort Max this weekend, too.
We actually got to meet Fort Max from Superhero Time.
That was cool.
Yes.
He is much more normal than I thought.
Mm-hmm. A nice young man.
He is a nice young man. Nice young.
Okay, then. Yes. I wasn't going to go there.
nice haircut, well-dressed.
Yes.
Nice
he's
and thin.
He's going to
turn out
well.
I think I met this guy.
No, you probably didn't.
You probably didn't. So, John, what was the highlight for you? Do you think
of like the whole like the convention itself?
Yeah.
I think the highlight was the toys come and go. Every year, the toys are some measure of good. So, I guess for me, it's always how well the show is run or not run. And this year was one of the better run shows.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so that was like the standout. It's just I want a nicely run show. I want stuff to happen on time. I want the Thursday Night Lion to not be god awful. It was just really, really bad this year, which is great. It's always going to be like some measure of terrible. So it was a well run line. It was a well run event. Everybody was really nice. The staff was really nice this year, but they're always nice. So that was a highlight. It was just a really smooth, pleasant experience. This year was really pleasant. It was, I think there weren't like super highs or super lows. It was just a really nice, I could see where like if you traveled here, this BotCon was a really great like vacation. Like it was like a really nice getaway, really low stress. Everything that was supposed to happen happened. I can see where people who came in really enjoyed themselves and just had a good time. And so for me, that's like the best part of this. That's what stands out. It's just, it was a really good show.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And, as far as like the toys themselves, I would just sum them up as they're just way better than expected. I think almost to a toy, they look way better than they did on the internet. Kickoff is amazing.
Yes,
he may be one of the best toys. Maybe one of the most handsome Transformers I've ever seen, because his colors are perfect. The new head sculpt that they used on him and at least one other toy, I believe, right? They used that. Anyway, he's got a new mold head. He doesn't have a jazz head, if you're wondering, obviously.
Jazz head just sounds terrible.
Kickoff actually got the one of the BotCon exclusive head sculpts this time around.
Okay. Yeah, so and it's done perfectly. So on Kickoff, the paint scheme's perfect, the color schemes are, you know, spot on. He's just a really great looking toy. And he's probably the standout for me among the toys. But overall, like I said, all the sets are just way better than advertised. So I was really happy with that.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't get anything. The one that I was most looking forward to out of the box set, of course, was Metal Hawk. And from all signs, the paint apps on the face were kind of not great, which kind of ruins it for me. XV, what about yours? You didn't get that, John.
No.
I'm thinking of JD. John, what do you think of the of that toy specifically?
Of Metal Hawk? Yeah. Well, so yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about the execution of the human face being kind of iffy. It's more of it that it was just inconsistent. So like mine looks pretty normal. He looks like, you know, he has normal mental health, and you know, he checks out. JD's is like so cross-eyed he can see like the back of his head. So that apparently is not uncommon.
John, yours is more the exception from all
indications.
Yeah,
yours is the lucky one.
You got a lucky draw.
And I'm not complaining?
You got a lucky draw that doesn't need glasses. Like,
that's a lucky draw.
Yeah, he's the chaser.
Yeah, so I mean, also, I do got to say, like, he creeped the hell out of my wife. So when my wife looked at it, she was like, oh my God, it has a man's face.
Well, there's your seal of approval right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, and I was like, yes, there's a story behind it, which would bore you, but trust me, that wasn't an accident. So, yeah, so show it to people who have no, you know, concept of Transformers and have some fun, is what I say.
Before Peter, I want to get to Peter in a second, but I just want to give, like, a couple of my highlights in no particular order. One, hanging out with Don, that was fun.
Yeah.
Taking Don to John's house, I think, without telling him. That was fun.
It didn't seem like we abducted
him. Without telling Don or without telling John?
John. Let's see here. Zombie Cliff Jumper.
Oh, yeah.
The toys are always... The toys, and I was telling this in a really sad and pathetic way, I always get giddy at the Hasbro panel. That's the thing the non-fan interaction part, like the official, you know, part, that's like my favorite thing every year. This year, actually, though, the club panel, I loved... I was going to say a little bit more, but quite a bit more, honestly. But the subscription service was like the thing this year for me at BotCon. I love the subscription service, mostly because once they announced the Joe subscription service, I'm like, I'm on that. That's the best thing ever. I wish they could do that with Transformers, but that's not feasible. And I told Brian Savage that on the showroom floor, that I was just shocked that they were doing it because I didn't think it was feasible. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know that it is. We're going to do it and see how it works out, which I love that. But yeah, so and I guess probably the thing I love most is Ultra Mammoth. Ultra Mammoth.
I don't know if it's a really good name though.
It is the best name.
What?
It's the best.
That's
name.
That's like a name they would actually use.
I would name my child that had I a child.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Ultra Mammoth.
Yeah,
well,
that's
totally
a name
because,
that they would give like
don't
a target
to make up names to tease him in school. You'd have already done that for
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Ultra Mammoth. Sorry, but you know there are other great toys in that set. A Depth Charge is something that. It just makes perfect sense.
Well, Depth Charge is the club freebie for next year, actually.
Oh, it is? Oh, even better. Even better. So that's great.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Jackpot is pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. It's great to get a new Jackpot.
Yeah, sure.
Circuit was a surprise. It's one of those things that I looked at Mike, oh, really? Really?
It's one of those things where like 90% of the room is, what the hell is that?
It's BotCon. We'll say 85% of the room.
I think they even explained to the room, like, they said something along the lines of, like, don't worry, he's cool.
Yes.
It's like, you know.
They didn't even, yeah,
it's okay,
they really
you like this, trust us.
Yeah.
Slipstream, that was a surprise. And Slipstream,
yeah, a little
bit. Slipstream is based off a fantastic toy, so, I mean, that's, you know,
right.
That's a plus. Fantastic. Let's see here. Scourge. That was sort of surprising. I'm not going to say disappointing, but surprising.
Well, I'll say disappointing simply because
it wasn't really surprising either because they used Art of Scourge to tease that there was going to be a reveal of something at the club panel. So everyone was going in expecting something to do with Red Scourge.
Yeah, what are you going to say, Rob?
I was just going to say, I'll say disappointing because that's a figure that I think had at least some shot of being a mass market figure at some point. And I'd say that dropped the odds significantly, which, you know, for my wallet makes me sad. So
really?
Yeah, because, I don't think I can get it at the club prices, but I would have liked to get that if I saw it in a store. So, you know, I'd like to see that figure, but I'd rather it was not them doing it. That's the best way I know how to put it.
The thing is, it's not like Nemesis Prime or whatever is always like a huge release. I mean, they kind of hit mass market. Like the one from Armada was hard as heck to find. Nemesis Prime from the Big Convoy mold, not an easy toy to get a hold of. So stuff that comes out, you know. Heck, even Scourge, when he came out in red, was not an incredibly common toy. I've never seen it once.
Exclusive, so it took a little while for... I think it came out after the show was over.
I saw it once. So honestly and realistically, and this goes into something we're going to talk about in a few weeks, this isn't to argue or disagree. Considering that the stuff that goes for the most money now are short pack toys, I'd say that the club exclusive is going to be cheaper than any type of release that we might get. Or it's entirely possible. It's possible, but I mean it depends on how many they release. The prices at the prices in the dealer room were surprising. Sometimes disheartening, sometimes like super awesome and wonderful.
Yeah,
because I was able to fill
holes.
Yeah,
they were all over the place.
I was able to fill holes in my Beast Wars second collection, like cheap. Oh my god! I actually bought one Neo toy that I paid more for in 2000 than I paid for last week. It's so wonderful. Oh goodness, so much stuff went on. Peter, what about you? What were some of your favorite things from the show?
You finally remembered Peter's here.
Peter on the spot. What was your favorite thing from BotCon?
Sorry, got a phone call.
Oh man!
I know, right on time. Right
Hollywood
on time,
Peter.
Yeah,
everybody. Hollywood Peter.
I think the show, like John was saying, it's definitely one of the better run shows. You didn't have to go too far to go to different places. Things were close. It wasn't like Florida where everything was like insanely expensive. But Pasadena was nice, but there was kind of a bit more of like a cluster here and there. I can't exactly say like one specific thing, but I did see a couple things that I may actually want to buy. I don't know if it's actually going to happen because once I rationalize it, that probably won't work. But I think the highlight was just being able to be around like other fans and get their enthusiasm and. As well as hang out with a bunch of cool guys. So.
Yes, meeting Amy was cool. That was a novelty.
I met Amy last year.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, it wasn't as big. No offense to Amy, it wasn't as big a novelty as like meeting XV, who I've known since he was like six.
Right.
Yeah, so that was a little weird, and he didn't smell as bad as I thought.
Yeah, now farted in the same car together.
Yes. We breathed each other's farts, and we walked into the Walmart a fart together. It was wonderful.
That whole intimate. Walmart smelled like fart.
That Walmart smelled like fart. And the thing is, and I don't get a lot of this, so I used to, but like in car trips and, road trips and, like, going out, like just the active, like, communal toy hunting. Is something I always, I miss. I don't get that much anymore. So the trip to and from BotCon was like several small little toy hunts, which was really cool. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was cool. It was cool, like, following you guys on Twitter just a little bit.
Yeah.
Those nuggets that you would leave behind.
Yes, exactly.
I think I'll help with that one Walmart, actually.
That's possible.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Hey, let's...
Hey, I,
Go ahead.
I got a quick point here. So after we've talked a little bit about this, I realized this is the first, at least in my mind, this is the first BotCon where the most notable toy stuff, the stuff that everybody's talking about for the most part, is the club stuff, and that the mainline stuff is stuff that people aren't really talking about coming out of the show. So it's weird that, like, at least in my head, like, the tables have turned where we're walking out of this convention where what stole the show was the club stuff.
Yes.
That up until this year was just like a marginal kind of throwaway panel that happened at the end of the convention.
Absolutely. Okay, every BotCon I've gone to, they have a deck with, you know, PowerPoint of upcoming toys, sketches, renders, you know, actual test shots, actual toys, and stuff that you might see a year, or in some cases, kind of like with the King Poseidon or God Neptune, whatever it was called, Pronicon, whatever the U.S. that version was called. We didn't see it until years later. But you know, this year we saw a couple of cool things, and I'm not trying to belittle, you know, the stuff that Hasbro is releasing. But I mean, like, you know, the Voyager Soundwave is pretty cool. And a couple other cool things. But I was really expecting, like, at least sketches or something of things that they're planning for 2013. And we didn't get a lot of that. In fact, we got, like, no G1 generation stuff to speak of at all. It was stuff from Fall of Cybertron. I mean, that was it. I mean,
what really surprised me from watching is that, as far as I can tell, everything you got shown at BotCon then later got shown in various, like, publicity photos to the public at large.
Yeah.
Is there anything you guys saw that hasn't really been shown widespread?
Thundertron.
That's true. So we know what he looks like.
That's about the only one.
Yeah,
that's really unusual, just as, you know, from my recollection of watching BotCon coverage over the years, that's really kind of an unusual thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll agree with that. Because, pretty much everything, the only new stuff they showed us was the recolor wave that's going to kick off 2013 alongside Starscream, which, yeah, that's gone up on their Facebook account now with, you know, a much better look than we could get at the panel, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything else had been either shown from catalog scans from Hasbro Asia or, you know, just however else it comes up. Thundertron is really the only thing I can think of that has not then turned up again outside the convention.
Hmm.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It was a quiet year for the official stuff.
Yeah. I never, ever, ever remember the club panel or the, you know, the convention panel, the organizer panel, I think we used to call it, outshining the Hasbro stuff. Never.
It's also because they put it on the, so they used to always have it on the Sundays. And this year they put it right before that. So they kind of, a lot of people got that on.
I mean, we had one less Hasbro panel, and even the one that was left was light on content.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they ran through that presentation pretty quickly.
And the thing is, the fans are usually pretty respectful, and this year they were pretty respectful as well, except for some really inane whining from people who want the first edition stuff. I mean, I want it too. And I really hope that they're able to do something with it. But I think you should really, you know, present it in a respectful, coherent way. There's that one person who, out of turn, just yelled, "What about the first editions?" He's like, you know, "Why did you change the paint jobs?" And Erin had no idea what she was talking about.
Neither did anybody else.
Neither did anyone else. She was under the impression that the first edition toys were the toys that the Robots in Disguise toys, but with a different paint app. He's like, "They're different toys. It's a different paint app." And she just couldn't get that through her head.
You could almost hear the facepalm cascading across the room, though.
Yeah.
It was like a wave of facepalms, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, first edition stuff that we saw in the dealer room, expensive. Expensive. Like $60
for
a Cliff Jumper.
And selling.
Yeah.
I mean, people were buying that stuff. Like Bulkhead.
$100.
Bulkhead was going, 100 to 120, and either way, sold out.
Now, the thing.
Sold out like Saturday.
Now,
by Saturday, most of them were gone.
Look, I want to make this point, and then we should jump to comics so that we can come back and talk about a couple more things.
Right.
But the thing that interested me the most, and I'm so glad I didn't pick it up, was the Masterpiece Prime release. Because I really wanted MP10 Cowboy. I mean, had the price been a little better, I would have walked out with it. Thank goodness I didn't, because the one that we're getting in the U.S. looks great. It has a slightly different coloration, it seems, than the Takara version. Plus, it's a lot cheaper. Some people had asked about the long stacks or the short stacks, and that just is such an ancient, you know, concern. That's like so 10 years ago. I don't care as long as we get it. I mean, they're doing long stacks, so hopefully that will appease all the people who were just, you know, butthurt over the short stacks from the original Masterpiece Prime. I learned the phrase butthurt this weekend from Derek J. Wyatt. I love that.
You didn't know that before?
I didn't know butthurt. No, I love it. I've been abusing it.
You've been abusing the butthurt.
I have been abusing the butthurt. Well, because I've been, you know, abusing it, butthurt. But the fact that we're getting that, and it's going to be relatively cheap and hopefully easy to find, means that I'm a very happy Brian. I just can't wait for it to show up in the stores. And, of course, the SDCC stuff will make me poor.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been hilarious, though, if you had bought an MP10 the afternoon before the panel.
I would have cried.
I know, that's why it would have been hilarious.
I would have cried.
I wonder how many booths in the dealer room put up no return signs after that.
I didn't see a one.
Neat.
I think most of them had that policy anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I think some people were like, oh, I bought you. All right, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it was with Rodimus. I mean, you know.
Well, and you know, you have to think, too, that a lot of people are just going to blindly assume that the Takara one's going to be better anyway, even if they are, you know, physically identical.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly not the case with Rodimus. I like the packaging a lot better for the U.S. Has a window.
Yeah.
I mean, that window means a lot, honestly, to me. Let's go ahead and jump to the comic news and the excerpt from our interview with Jim Sorensen and Bill Forrester. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, this is Amy, back once again with Transformers Comics News and Reviews in 5 minutes. Post-BotCon, I had a blast, met a ton of friends and fans. Some of you out there that watched this segment, so thank you for watching. Some bits to come out of BotCon. August is Dinobot Month. Yep, that's right. We'll be seeing the Dinobots in the near future. Also, we'll be getting some annuals in August and September. I wish I could tell you more details about them, but all they gave us was just a teaser. And now you know everything I know. So, annuals, yay! Also, Jim Sorensen and Bill Forrester will be making another Transformers book documenting the box art for all Generation 1 and 2 toys. They have 300 images and 150 promised. They will have some production pieces in this book, original artist interviews, unused unpublished art, new decos of art, back and front art. And here's the best part. You, yes, you out there could be part of this grand project that they have taken on. They are looking to put as much in this book as they can. If you'd like to help out, check out the blog Disciples of Boltax or email transformerstheark@yahoo.com for more details. And now for what everyone is waiting for, Robots in Disguise, issue number 4, review! Okay, we get a murder, and everyone's favorite officer of investigation gets called in to find out what happened. Something that takes Prowl all of 10 seconds to solve. And not only does he have RC pricking his conscience about what he wants or doesn't want, he's got to deal with one nasty brainwashing con who gets the jump on him. At least until he corners him in the sewers. Want to find out how Prawl stops him? Well, you're going to have to go read it. Who's gone too far, RC or Prowl? Let's see, I'm not even going to take count of how many people die in this issue. All I'm going to say is that peace requires a head count, and I'll leave it at that. More consistent and amazing art, more writing that's well-paced, and oh my gosh, moments. This has got to be the issue where Barber has fully taken Nick Roach's Prowl and made it his own. And the evolution is pretty spectacular. Definitely highly recommend this issue, giving it a 5 out of 5 stars. Yay! And last but certainly not least, Autocracy 8. Last issue, Orion Pax joined Megatron. This issue, they go toe-to-toe with Zeta Prime. Not only do they attack the Iacon Council Chambers, but they certainly bring this dude to the end of his reign. And then the ultimate betrayal! Oh my gosh! Okay, I'm not going to spoil this one because it was just too epic. I've got goosebumps, yay! And I would not take that away from anyone. So you got to read it. Also another 5 out of 5 stars. So, that's it for this week. BotCon cometh. And I have given 5 out of 5 stars to 2 comics in 1 week. Join us next week for Regeneration 80.5, which can be acquired at your local comic shop this Saturday. Free comic book day, baby! We'll see you next week. Goodbye!
What led you in this direction? This is much closer to what you did with the arc, as opposed to what, you know, I think a lot of people know you guys from Allspark Almanac, which is a different kind of book. Mm-hmm. What led you back in sort of this direction as in like as reference material or reference design?
Well, this is a book we always wanted to make. I remember when we first sat down and thought up the idea of taking character models and making it a book. I don't think a day went past before one of us said, hey, let's do the box art. Unfortunately, we didn't have access to all of it at the time, so it just took this long before we actually sink our teeth into it. But it's always been something on our plate. And the Almanac was almost a strange anomaly. We originally went into that with an idea of just doing the character models, and it just became one of these things where it just grew into this strange, unique, different book. So in a sense, we're just going back to what we know, providing this material that we've always intended to put out there and make sure everybody, all the fans have access to it.
So funny story about the Allspark Almanac. It's a little retro compared to what we're talking about now with Legacy, but I think it's amusing since Bill brought it up. When we pitched to IDW the book that eventually became the Allspark Almanac Volume 1, the pitch we did was the arc animated, and Derek Wyatt sent, we'd met him at one of the BotCons, and we found out that he used the arc as reference material, so he gave us access to just a few character models so that we could make up a proposal, and we made a proposal that looked a lot closer to, it was in color, but other than that, it looked a lot closer to the arc books than to what ultimately became the Allspark Almanac. We just have this burning need to make these really elaborate, fantastic books, and we both spend a lot of time and energy putting them together. So in the arc books, our time and energy was spent finding the models and restoring them. With Transformers Animated, we literally went into Cartoon Network with a portable hard drive, and they said, what do you want? And I said, everything. And they said, well, do you want models? And I said, yes. And then they said, do you want storyboards? And I said, yes. And then they said, do you want scripts? And I said, yes. And then they said, do you want backgrounds? And I said, yes. And they said, do you want them in black and white or color? And I said, both. So I just took everything they gave us. And after about 2 or so hours of work, I had everything. So there was no time necessary for restoration, and we had this deadline that was 3 months away. So we
we had a lot of time to lay these things out.
Like a goldfish in a bowl, we expanded until we filled that time with what eventually became the almanacs.
Oh, yes. That was Jim Sorensen and Bill Forster talking about Transformers Legacy, which is something we learned in the IDW panel at BotCon on his Facebook page. And our Facebook page, Jim had mentioned that he was going to make an announcement. And there it is. Best thing ever. So as far as the IDW panel goes, there is quite a bit going on. I guess the two big I would say there are three big news items. One of them is kind of iffy, but I kind of like it. One was all the talk around regeneration. We actually, this coming weekend, 80 and a half comes out as a free Comic Book Day exclusive, so definitely go to your local comic book shop and pick that up. Or download a CBR torrent if you can't find it, if you don't have a comic shop. I didn't say that. I really didn't. Yeah, exactly. So also, we learned that there's going to be a major crossover or a major story arc involving Primus, which had a pretty neat-looking cover on, I think, issue 7 of More Than Meets the Eye. More Than Meets the Eye is such a fantastic book. Again, I just want to point that out. I love More Than Meets the Eye. And there was a lot of love this year from the at the IDW panel. Oftentimes, fans aren't hostile or anything, but there's not as much enthusiasm around the comic as there was this year. And rightfully so. It's awesome.
Well, yes, when it improves so much, I mean, there should be enthusiasm finally.
I mean, honestly... since More Than Meets the Eye is only like 4 issues, and I can't really make such a bold proclamation, but so far I enjoy this more than I enjoy any Furman story that I've ever read, and I've read them all at some time or another. So I think this is the best Transformers run so far, unless they completely ruin it. But
it's still possible, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And there's going to be a month, a Dinobot month.
Yeah, Dinobot month,
yes.
Decepticon month, I believe.
But featuring both, the Dinobots, so that's exciting.
They're both in July.
Exciting, yeah. I love the Dinobots, and that's just because I was an 80s kid, and I'm not a G1er, contrary to what, you know, some people may think from time to time. But I am really partial to the Dinobots, and... all of the different variations across the different universes, you know, comic, IDW, Dreamwave, G1 cartoon, everything, the games, it kind of creates this sort of fragmented profile of who the Dinobots are. But basically any continuity, the Dinobots are pretty awesome. And we actually got to see some Dinobot gameplay live debut at BotCon at the booth of what's the studio?
High Moon.
Yeah, I was going to say Full Moon Studios. High Moon Studios.
Full Moon.
That's what they should rename it. Actually, as far as games go, the game that I'm most interested in, even though I've not played a single MMO, is Transformers Universe that Jagex is doing. We're going to play a clip from the interview that JD had with Steve Huckle in a few minutes. But that looks really, really good. And I'm really excited by what that, you know, holds. The really neat thing that that Jagex was doing this past week or last week was that they had these kiosks where you could go up and reserve your name. I was excited that I was able to get Billy. I'm Billy. And John, who did you get?
New Soundwave.
Excellent.
Oh,
and
yes.
JD got Kranix.
JD got Kranix. I was surprised. I was going for Skyquake. Then I'd forgotten that Skyquake was a character in Prime, so of course it was taken. I was going to pick Stalker. I think actually somebody might have taken Stalker, but that's just a little bit creepy when you're talking about an online game. So it's
isn't that the place to be creepy?
Yeah, that's true. that was pretty cool. There are a lot of, you know, little things that aren't, you know, core cartoon or toy in this whole Transformers universe of ours, you know, to focus on and experience. There wasn't anything that I can remember around the novel series. Is a third one coming out? I think a third one. There was a, and I hate to use the word juvenile, but I mean, it's a juvenile Transformers novel came out this past week that I was able to pick up on my Kindle. I haven't read it yet. Yeah. I think it's focused.
You mean like a kid's book?
Yeah, I think it focuses on Cliff Jumper, if I recall. But there wasn't a lot around the books, but I guess loosely, one of the guests had written a book recently, Dan Gulvezan, which I read a couple of months ago, and it was pretty cool to meet him. As far as that's concerned, I was really surprised by Buster Jones. Buster has not been involved in this at all.
He was surprised by all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He certainly was. What was this? I missed the script reading. I normally don't go to those. How did that work out?
Take a guess.
Ha!
Oh, dear.
I
think I heard that Buster struggled a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. The microphone failures weren't helping, of course.
Yeah.
He kept losing place in the script, and... It wasn't really, voice acting so much as it was voice reading the lines.
Yeah, I have some B-roll that I'm not going to show. it may work out in the documentary that David's working on, that he's been working on forever, which will air an interview with him in a couple weeks. But he's like, hey, read a blaster line. And he was trying to come up with a blaster line, and I forgot. So one of us threw it out. It's like, look out and shout, ow. It's like, can you say that? So Buster's like, look out and shout, ow. That was exactly how he said it.
And then I heard, I didn't go to the Dan and Buster panel, but I heard that it's typical to do something like, ask voice actors to do their characters at a drive-thru or whatever.
I hate that, so, yes.
So someone asked Buster to do that, and he's like, why?
Best possible answer.
Well, that was after he had to have the request explained to him, but still.
Best
I mean, that's
answer.
About the best answer.
Peter, you were about to say something.
Oh, no, I was going to ask John if he remembered last year's, the Transformers animated script reading panel was...
Yeah, I don't want to.
You don't like that?
Well, I mean, it's similar to the advantage... We get with most voice actors is at this point, most of them have been to a BotCon at least once. And so they've had exposure to the drive-through, and they've had exposure to the script reading kind of drill, boot camp, torture, whatever you want to call it.
They know the rules. They know how to play by them.
Yeah. They also know that
except Gary Chalk really this year.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Gary. Oh, Gary.
the panel with Gary Chalk and David Kay was like borderline R-rated. It was pretty great.
Borderline.
No, it was PG-13. It was PG-13.
No way.
Yeah, totally. It was awesome though. Wow.
No,
they just went crazy.
I'm not going to say which one he dropped, but one of the words he dropped is like an instant R.
Was it? I must have missed that part. I was sitting in the floor charging my phone.
You mean when he told? When he told him to stop being the
I don't know when he dropped that's a PG-13.
Yes.
Was it? It was.
There's no way. I mean, unless it's like some documentary on hazing. if it's like in a work of fiction, it becomes like it's R-rated.
The one thing that I can think back to that we learned in that panel, besides that Gary Chalk is awesome. Was that David Kay actually got into voice acting through Gary Chalk. I didn't know that. They were neighbors. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, they were neighbors. And David Kay had given Gary a demo reel. And, apparently Gary hooked him up with some people. And the rest is history. That was pretty cool. Terrific. That was something I had no idea whatsoever.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah, that was
really,
really
cool.
Let's see here. So, anything else? I can't think anything around voice actors or comics again. Dan Gilvezan was great. I really liked his book, so I didn't really learn anything about Dan that I didn't already know. But he was pretty cool to meet.
He seemed really, really nice.
He is really, really nice.
Yeah, that's always appreciated. Like even Buster was lost
he
and
was
confused
lost.
For 2 days, but he was really nice.
But he was a classic suave guy, though, you know, wearing the bow tie and the full suit and everything. That
yeah, old is Buster, awesome. Incidentally?
He did?
How old is Buster, incidentally?
Oh, I thought you said he did Ghostbusters, incidentally. I'm like, wow, no, I didn't know that.
No, just wondering how old he was, actually.
I don't know, 70-ish?
Yeah, he's got to be 70.
Yeah, I can kind of see the first time in a crowd like that being really overwhelming.
Yes, yeah, pretty much.
I'm wondering if it was just Texas that overwhelmed him.
Oh,
well, I mean, perhaps. That's really surprising.
The heat.
He's a suavely dressed black man, but at least he was in Dallas.
Yeah.
So that is fairly cosmopolitan.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
He was good.
Hey, look, good. John.
If you're going to dress like that,
John,
you may as well be.
Real quick, what's going on in the chat this week?
I guess the one topic that everybody got into for a hot minute was the, this is interesting, the rise in retail prices of Transformers. So that started with, like, people talking about the Comic-Con stuff, everybody freaking out and kind of worrying about, like, how expensive Bruticus is going to be. Oh, hey, by the way, like, Toys R Us has increased, apparently, their prices
again?
A little bit.
Ugh.
I think, so I mean, like, deluxes are, what, up to $14 or $16, something like that?
I'm surprised like, the Cyberverse stuff is as expensive as it is.
Well, the Voyagers are, like, pushing, what, 20-something at this point at Toys R Us?
I've seen Voyagers for $25 at Toys R Us.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, even on the cards that we saw this past weekend, the Generations deluxes are $15 now. That's the MSRP.
Oh, God, they're going to be $20 at Toys R Us.
So is that what they're becoming, like a large specialty store? Is that what they're becoming now?
Yeah, they have. What, I talked to a guy on Twitter, well, actually, and I both, William West, he was on Superhero Time. He used to work for Toys R Us, and he knows they've instituted something called the Bump Up Program. And basically, if it's a product that they know that collectors are interested in, managers of individual stores are pretty much at liberty to raise the price as they see fit.
Awesome. Oh, that sucks so bad.
Which is why some Toys R Us's have $18 Marvel Legends, some have $25 Marvel Legends.
There's a reason I don't buy Marvel Legends or the DC stuff either.
Uh-huh.
What well, the hell?
It's like Walmart retail, $15 for those is too much.
Yes.
I would never pay Toys R Us prices for that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it was like a Spider-Man $20.99 and I don't know, something awesome two-pack. Like a Spider-Man $20.99 and Genesis Captain Marvel two-pack, like shaking hands and like traveling in time together with an actual working time machine, I still wouldn't pay $30 for that.
But the other one that was in the chat I found interesting is that, and I'd heard this elsewhere too, Targets are starting to mark their Dark of the Moon deluxes back up to $16 a piece.
What?
My guess is, and this is just a guess, but I know Target dumps their unsold stock at Goodwill, and my guess is they're marking it back up for the maximum tax write-off, but that's just a guess.
That's a great point. That's a great observation, actually.
Yeah, because they are wanting to do that. In other departments, so why not toys?
Oh, I've gotten Target clearance toys. I found a clearance Star Wars figure at Goodwill for $2 the other day, matter of fact.
Nice, very nice.
Interesting.
Very cool. Okay, awesome. Let's go ahead and jump to our BotCon montage, and we'll be back just right after this.
This is the BotCon 2012 experience from Radio Free Cybertron and TFormers.com.
Buddy, this is Bumblebee, and I never listen to Radio Free Cybertron. It sucks.
looking for this year?
I've seen a lot of the Masterpiece stuff. That really disappeared a lot on me on Friday. I was very surprised by the reaction to that, especially the Starscream, which, you know, a lot of people were unsure whether they were going to buy that, so it was kind of questionable whether they were going to get sold, you know. But those vanished right off the table. Very popular, apparently. I've had a lot of people asking, not surprisingly, about third-party stuff.
Yes.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything to do with selling any of that anywhere.
No.
Sorry.
Probably the first and only Transformers MMO. We've been in development for about 18 months now, and we're hoping to release it at the end of the year.
Okay, great. And in terms of like MMOs that people might be familiar with, say from a range of maybe like a Flash MMO, web-based, to all the way up to World of Warcraft, where does it fall in that range?
It's kind of somewhere in the middle. I mean, it's browser-based, but it's we've got a whole new graphics engine, and obviously with our what we've learned on RuneScape for the last 10 years, we've got quite a intelligent back end, as it were, so we're able to deliver the game quite quickly to people, so you can just jump in on your browser, get in the game within a few minutes, and jump from PC to PC to play it.
Cybertron. Listen.
Show probably was usually it's just the guests and the toys. I think people were excited to get the exclusives this year. The Junkions obviously were the big hit. Spinister did real well. Prime, people loved it. So I think the toys is always, and of course just seeing some of the, you know, the voices behind the characters, David and Buster and Dan and Gary, and of course Derek J. Wyatt was here, and Simon Furman and Abby Collins being inducted to the Hall of Fame. So it's just been a great weekend all around.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed the convention as a whole. That was only like a small bit of the footage that we caught, or that we got. So did you guys have a chance to watch that during the break?
Yes, much fun.
Yeah,
much
it was.
Dealer room footage.
Yeah, we got a lot of footage from the dealer room. And thankfully, John was able to get dealer room footage like when it was still populated. There's a lot of later stuff. A lot of people were really cut short as far as like what they had at the end.
Oh, you mean like the tables themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But this BotCon dealer room, I'm sure we can get into it more in depth sometime some other time. But as far as like assortments and variety of stuff, it got picked through pretty thoroughly by Sunday morning. The entire Sunday was it was kind of bare.
Yeah, it was like scraps. Yeah.
I mean, the really popular tables were pretty well stripped down by Sunday morning.
I don't have a lot of Holy Grails left. I mean, it's not that my collection's that huge or that I have a lot of great stuff, but there's not many things that I really want that I don't have or have owned at some point. And like the ones that I would want are at this point so ridiculously hard to get a hold of that if one does show up at BotCon, it's usually like $200 or $300 loose and incomplete. We did see some of that like early on in the show. Mm-hmm. It's really sad. But yeah, so I mean, overall, I think BotCon, this is one of my favorites that I've ever gone to. Just a lot of stuff, a lot of interesting things. And like we had pointed out earlier, it was really well organized. Now, I hate to say that there were a few things to complain about at the con, but I've had, you know, some issues in the past, things I didn't much care for as far as the way that things were being managed. And pretty much all of that this year, gone. It was a really good show.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And, you know, some of that, too, we would be remiss without mentioning that this is more or less in their backyard. So Fun Pub is based in Fort Worth.
Yes.
So a little bit over an hour drive from the event site this year. So that no doubt helped, but it at least they did take advantage of the advantages that that offered, and so it created a smoother show. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, guys, any final thoughts on this year's BotCon?
I mean, it was a really good show for me. I have no... This is like, it's getting, I don't know if I'm mellowing out with age, losing a little bit of my fire, which is fine, along with my hair. That's fine. But this is one of the shows where, like, I walked away with, like, zero significant complaints and just good vibes. So yeah. I just had a really good time.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have anything to complain about at the show either, so I don't think it's just you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly. Rob, as an outside observer, anything that you wanted to know more about or anything that should have been said that wasn't said or covered at BotCon this year?
Honestly, you know, the impression I got from what I've heard about the, you know, apology thing was that they're still kind of saying these things happen. And I don't feel that strong enough. But what I really want to say about it, just as my closing thought on the subject is, okay, they put on a great show. They are putting out some really interesting toys. These are things that we've known to be their strengths. And what I would really like to see happen now is for all of us who can't go to Texas to be able to see online what you saw in person. Because that's, you know, see the kind of, you know, commitment that I've been told about. Because, you know, it's hard to see that the way they've come across online with some of the problems they've had in the last 6 months.
And that is not only a totally reasonable but expectation, but, you know, bare minimum.
Yeah, no, that's entirely
bare minimum expectation. I agree. I totally agree. Well,
yeah, I agree. I think, like, one little quick thing on that too, really. If you got a transcript of Brian's apology, you would probably realize that it wasn't a good apology. So there was a lot of language in there that was
mitigating.
It was like, yeah, and it was one or two words too long. Like, you should have stopped that statement three or four words ago. So
yes,
that comes across bad in text and online, and that's no different from anything else that they put out online.
Yeah.
It's poorly worded, but when you're face to face and you see that they are trying, and you know some people, and this is not to belittle him, but at all, but I mean it just kind of is. Some people aren't the best at being diplomatic or just kind of romancing the situation. And just kind of, you know, just easing everybody through. Don't give full disclosure. Don't give your complete thought on the matter. You know, give the people what they want and continue to work hard behind the scenes. At BotCon, you see them working hard in front of your face.
Yes.
And behind the scenes. And you realize that they are trying. They are putting a good effort. And they're not being malicious. It's just some things they aren't good at. And one of them is
PR
and communicating. And that's just kind of going to be the way it is.
And having, I mean, sort of being someone who's responsible for certain things and, you know, a public figure, I've read a lot of PR stuff, and I know that I'm not good at it. And I think that expecting, you know, the Fun Pub people, Savage specifically, to be, like, a really highly polished, you know, public relations person may be a little unreasonable, but I do have the expectation that an apology is sincere and from the heart and that there's going to be some sort of action behind it. And I've seen action, or I've been told that things are going to happen And you know, I'm willing to forgive and forget if things actually happen, and if not, you know, it's not, you know, reasonable or acceptable. So, but yeah. So I overall though, I think the convention was great. One of my favorites ever, and I'm really sad that it BotCon has to end. But if BotCon was, you know, a 365-day a year event, no one would ever sleep in their own beds again, except for John.
And I'd never see my wife again.
That is true.
Thanks a lot.
Couldn't have that.
Or your puppies.
And your Hercules never come in the mail.
Yeah.
This is true.
That's right.
So, guys,
it's been like Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. I've got to get ready for an Avengers Midnight showing, so...
Yeah.
Avengers.
Hey, Brian, let's do a podcast at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
If I wasn't going to work tomorrow, I would.
Initial reactions, that'd be fantastic. I would love to air that on ScreenView.
Actually, if you guys want to get together at some point this weekend and actually do a review, I'm more than up for that. And that could air on ScreenView.
Yeah, dog.
Let's do it.
Just ping me, and I'll be available. My wife is working this weekend. It's Bachelor John this weekend.
Wow, again, two weekends
in
a row.
Holy crap.
Extra cool. Okay, well, we will be back next week, fully staffed. And thank you all for watching or listening. And don't forget to check out tfradio.net and tformers.com for those interviews. And we'll be back next week. Thank you very much. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.